seedbed for the Word of God, tenders our hearts and makes them pliable and soft where the Word of God can fall in there and take up root. And I hope that we've experienced that tonight. Appreciate folks praying about the singing, the song service tonight. The last congregation we sang talked about the tempest, and that's what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. The Lord willing, Psalms 55, I want to read 23 verses. We're not going to preach all of it, but I do want to read it to lay a foundation for the message I felt like the Lord has dealt with my heart about. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." And he said, Selah, that's a Hebrew word, like it used to be at a railroad crossing. Stop, look, and listen. God has said something you need to pay attention to. Verse number 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in the Lord. If that's correctly read, 23 verses, if you'll pray for me, I sure would appreciate it. Father, I want to bow again tonight. Thank you for the throne of grace, where we can come and obtain mercy and find grace to help, Lord, in a time of need. Now, I realize tonight that I'm a needy creature, and I want to ask you, please, to speak through these lips of clay, Lord, the wonderful words of life tonight. And I pray the Holy Ghost might take the Word of God and the message, Lord, from it tonight, and you would do a work in every one of our hearts and in our lives tonight. I pray you'd save the lost, reclaim the backslidden. Lord, I pray to help that saint of God tonight. And I pray you'd send revival to the Pleasant View Baptist Church. What you do in us and with us and for us and through us, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you and love you for it. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, I've still got a little tickle in my throat, but it hadn't hindered me too much in these days of trying to preach the Word of God to you. In the setting of Psalms 55 tonight, we find the psalmist David in one of the encounters in his life, and he was a man of many encounters from his youth up till he was an older man living for the Lord. And I want you to look at verse number 8. I want to take my thought, get the setting for the message there tonight. David said, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I thought about that as I tried to study and prepare to preach the Word of God today. There were a lot of storms in the life of this man by the name of David. Some of them, I'm sure, were self-inflicted, and others were from the devil. And sometimes God puts us through storms and trials in our life. But nevertheless, that's not the point of my message tonight. But my point is verse 8, where he said, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. And so I want to look at that tonight. But I want to take the title for my message out of verse number 5, where he said, fearful and trembling are come upon me, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. David is in a storm in his life, and that storm has gotten so severe that David said fearfulness and trembling had come upon him and had overtaken him apparently. And he said he was at the point of even being overwhelmed in verse number 4. So if the Lord will help me for about 30 minutes tonight, I think I'll be through sooner than I have been in the previous nights. But nevertheless tonight, I want to look at verse number 4. David is in a state of being overwhelmed. And I want to tell you how he overcame that tonight and preach with this thought for a little while, how to overcome when you're overwhelmed. I don't think there's anybody that's been saved for any length of time at all that will not, has not encountered storms in their life. And I memorized several scriptures years ago concerning storms in the Bible. And if you're here tonight saved by the grace of God, or if you're here and outside the grace of God, never been saved tonight, you're well aware, as I am tonight, that our lives are full of storms. One after another, we go through storms in this life. And I heard someone say years ago, and I've applied it to my life and to my preaching, you're probably either coming out of a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're going to go into a storm in the near future. So find your place tonight. You may be here tonight, you may be in a storm. You may be here tonight, and God has just brought you through a storm. But you rest assured, in front of you, there will be other storms that you're going to encounter. The pastor and Sister Mary took us up to one of the canyons today, and that guide was telling us about the fierceness of the thunderstorms that would fall upon those ridges or gorges or whatever you call them out here. I said it could be 10 miles away, but those treacherous waters would run down through those canyons that we were in. I said, Lord, I hope it don't rain today. Amen. I know you need some rain, but I didn't want walls of water 14 foot deep running down through there when I'm in there without any tennis shoes on and probably the slowest one in the buggy. So I wasn't looking for a storm or a gully washer to come down that canyon today. But she was telling us about the severity of those storms, and a lot of folks have been drowned. And I heard not too long ago somewhere out here that several people were drowned as a result of a flash flood or what have you. They were swept away in the storm waters. Well, in my experience of pastoring for 36 years, I have seen young families and young men that I thought had a lot of potential in their life and could really do something in the future for God. There's some things begin to transpire in their life or in their family or in their ministry or in their marriage. And for some reason or another, they come to that state of being overwhelmed and they did not survive it. And as I think, my mind begins to run about people that I have loved and wept over and prayed for and begged God to help them and counseled with them and tried to help them survive the storm that they were in. And some of them we help rescue, and others, they never learn how to overcome when they're overwhelmed. I hope you'll give your attention for a little while tonight. You are going to encounter storms, whether you're saved or lost, whether whether you're living for God and dedicated to Him or not tonight, our lives are going to have storms that come into them, and a lot of folks do not survive them. Let me give you three or four scriptures and I'll hurry. In Job chapter 14, verse number 1, I guess Brother Job was a good man to pin these verses down. He said, "Man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And we are well aware of that tonight. I'm telling you, these young people that sit here tonight and listen to me, they have storms in their life, and they suffer heartbreak and disappointment, and they weep and cry. I remember as a child, I had things in my life that probably wouldn't be very big tonight, but they were big to me when I was 8 and 10, 12 years old. And these young people have things like that that occur in their life, and we need to be teaching them how to overcome those. But Job said, if you're born of a woman, I guess we all have been, then our lives are going to be full of trouble from the cradle to the grave. He said in Job chapter 5, verse number 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as surely as you light a fire and you see the sparks begin to flicker up in the air, God said you're going to have trouble in your life. Then the words of Jesus tonight, He said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let me give you a verse for you that are trying to do right and live right, support the church and pray and love your brother the way the preacher said a while ago. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so there's going to be persecution, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be fiery trials in your life, there's going to be trouble from the time you're born until the time you die. The Bible said in Psalms 34:19, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so there's trouble and fire, storms and afflictions, and all these things are going to come in your life, and there's a whole lot more I could give you, but I really don't want to take the time to do that tonight. I think you're well aware that you're going to have trouble and trials in your life. The old black preacher said, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus may know the only trouble some that's deep in the bosom of your heart tonight. There may be some trouble there that you haven't shared with anybody. But I'm telling you, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. Amen. And so, Lord, help me for a little while tonight. I want to preach to you on how to overcome when you are overwhelmed. Here's how I divide this chapter. If you keep notes or you write in your Bible, in verse number 1 down through verse number 5, when you're in this stormy wind and tempest like David was, in verse number 8, down through verse 1, down through verse number 5, first of all, do not despair. I asked my wife, I said, give me a little simple definition for despair. And she stopped not for a moment, preacher, and she said, don't give up. I said, well, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Amen. I think that's a good, simple definition for don't despair. When you get into storms in your life, do not despair. And I'm going to tell you why. Then down in verse number 6, down through verse number 8, don't desert. David said, I'd like to just run away if I could and float away in verse number 8. But don't you do that. That's not the answer. And then verse number 9, down through the remaining part of the chapter, he gives us some directions on how to experience deliverance in our storm. And so with those little three thoughts in mind tonight, I don't think I can preach too long with just those three little points tonight. But first of all, when you get a storm in your life, and they with the stormy billows around you roll, and let me say again, you better get ready for them. You're going to encounter them as sure as you live for the Lord. And I, if you're here lost tonight, may God help you. I've had some storms in my life that I could have never survived had it not been for Jesus. I tell you, my home and my family and the ministry God's given me would have been shipwrecked tonight if I had not had the captain of my salvation that was manning the wheel and guiding me when I did not know where to go and I could not find the way
that thank God that Jesus was there and He pilots my ship. Amen. I'm not picking on you tonight, but if you've got a sign on your car and say Jesus is my co-pilot, I hope you'll take that to the scrapyard tonight and let them make a Budweiser beer can out of it, probably where it came from. Jesus is not my co-pilot. Jesus is the captain of my vessel. Amen. And the book of Hebrews called Him the captain of our salvation. And so He's not your co-pilot. Some of you that are not listening to me tonight, when you get in a storm, He'll be your co-pilot. You're going to use Him like a spare tire. But I'm telling you, a lot of times you'll go run through the trunk lid and you'll get that old spare tire out of there, and His tire's going to be flat and it won't do you a bit of good. God, Jesus, not my co-pilot. Thank God He's the pilot of my ship. Amen. And I hope He pilots your life tonight. I remember the verses I was thinking just a moment ago. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I preached last night on the problems that prevent the unity of the church and the victory in the church. And one of those was the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'm telling you, the world is going to put you through stormy trials in your life. But Jesus said through the pen of the Apostle John, He said, that is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. And so get that in your heart tonight. I can overcome when I am overwhelmed. But I think you're going to have to learn how, and you're going to have to get rooted and grounded, and you're going to have to get your sea legs when you're going through the storm, or you're going to get seasick, or you're not going to be able to survive, or you're going to be washed overboard, and you're never going to make it to the other shore. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about dying and going to hell. I'm talking about living a victorious life and finishing the race that's set before you, and never completing that God saved you to do. And so tonight, with that thought in mind, how to overcome when you are overwhelmed. In verse number 1, down through verse number 5, for the sake of time tonight, look at verse number 1. David said, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. I don't know what you see in that verse, but David is in a storm in his life, and I think here's what he feels in verse number 1, Pastor. He said, I feel like God is not hearing my prayer, and I feel like God has hidden His face from my supplication. Look at it again with that thought in mind. David's in a storm, and he said, Lord, please give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. When you get in a storm, don't you despair, and don't you lose hope, and don't you give up. God still hears your prayer in the midst of your calamity. Are you listening to me? As a matter of fact, here's what he said. Call upon me in a time of trouble. I'll answer, and thou shalt glorify me. When you get in trouble, that's time to pray more than you've ever prayed. Amen. It's not time to quit praying. And I'll assure you tonight, when you get in a storm, God has never abandoned one of His little children in the storm in their life. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I will not leave you comfortless. And the word there is, I will not leave you like an orphan. Now a woman may forsake her suckling child. Are you listening to me? Bible said that a woman may forsake her suckling child, but God said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'm glad I got a God, Psalms 46:1, as a very present help in a time of trouble. I mean, He's there. He has not abandoned you, David. But David got to that place in his life, preacher, and he said, I don't think God's hearing my prayer. And as a matter of fact, I think God has hidden His face from me, and I don't know what to do. I have come to a state of despair in my life. I think the Lord told me today to let you read Mark chapter number 4 and verse 37. I could quote it to you, but I'd like for you to mark this verse or read it, and let me give you two or three thoughts out of Mark chapter 4 and verse number 7. My first thought is this tonight, when you get in that windy storm and tempest, and when the howling winds are around you blowing, and the waves of adversity are beating upon your vessel, and you don't think there's any hope whatsoever in your life, do not despair. Jesus is a very present help in a time of trouble. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 37, for the sake of time, I probably ought to read several verses, but I don't have time. The Bible said in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I'm telling you, you get a ship full of water, you're in trouble. Do you agree with that? And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And one said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Look at verse number 40. They were fearful, and they had no faith. You know what caused that? It was just being overwhelmed by the storm that they were in. Their life is out of control. They're in a situation they have no control over. And that's what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not in despair. Are you listening to me? He said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. He put it this way, there's trouble all around me, beside of me, in front of me, and there's trouble behind me, and the stormy winds are beating upon me, and it looks like my little boat may sink, and I don't know what I can do about it. I'm troubled on every side, but he said, I'm not distressed. He said, I am perplexed, and that's having problems you can't answer. He said, I got problems I don't know the answer to, but you read 2 Corinthians 4:8. He said, I am not in despair. You may be perplexed tonight, and you got a problem that's out of your control. What is God doing in your life when you get a storm that's so severe, and you encounter something that's beyond your ability to take care of it? You are in a state of perplexity, and your faith is weak, and you get afraid. Do not despair. Stay close to God. I'll tell you how to do that in just a minute, but God knows where you are. Are you listening to me? Do not despair when the storm is out of control. And I'll tell you this, between here and the rapture of the church, and I don't know what the election may hold in November, I could probably give you a pretty good idea, but I'm telling you this tonight, whatever it costs tonight, we better batten down the hatch and get out the foul weather gear. We're going to sail through some stormy seas from here to the rapture, from here to the coming of the Lord. Evil men, seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. I don't have time to deal with the current condition or the coming condition tonight, but I'm telling you, when they come, do not despair. You do what God told these disciples to do and what God told David to do. In Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 37, the Bible said, there arose. Look at verse 39. He arose. Are you listening? The Bible said in verse 37, a great storm. Look at the last part of verse 39, a great calm. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer to the storm and the trials and the perplexity that's in your life tonight. It does not matter how great the storm may arise, there is one that's greater than the storm, and when he chooses to get up, he'll rise higher than the storm, and he'll say, Peace be still, and the waves will have to lay down at his feet and lick his feet like a little puppy, amen? And you'll come out of that storm, and you'll say, What manner of a man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? He is still God, he's still on the throne, he's the same one that walked the sandy shores of Galilee and calmed the storms in those men's life, and he can calm our storms as well. But do not despair. Don't lose hope. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up.
Amen.
I like that picture. I don't know if you've seen them or not. There's this kind of a blue herring or some kind of a bird that walks around feeding on the little fish or whatever, and this little bird about that high with a neck about that long, kind of like a pelican, his beak can hold more than his belly can. But he took that old long neck and he reached over there and he picked up a bullfrog. I guess you don't have bullfrogs down here, big old long-necked frog. And he started to swallow that frog, and he got him down, and that frog, his legs went down and grabbed that bird by the throat, and he's got the frog in his mouth, and the frog's got him by the throat, telling me, now he's perplexed. He can't swallow, he can't spit him out, and the frog's about to get the best of him. His caption over said, don't give up. Are you listening? I wouldn't be surprised tonight if some of you're not here and you got something you can't swallow and you don't know what to do with it. I'm telling you, don't give up. God will be along in just a minute. And here's what He's doing in Mark chapter 4. Here's what He's doing in Psalms 55. The Bible says, and if you'll look quickly, again, Mark chapter 4 and verse number 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, you know, that you've read the story. They go to him, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up and calmed the storm. Here's the first thing you need to remember. Don't despair in your storm. If you'll read, there's another account of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they sound like they're similar, but it's not the storm. It's not the same storm. In this storm, Jesus is in a boat asleep. You agree with that? He's got his head on a pillow, and he's in the hinder part of the ship asleep. In the other storm, in Matthew chapter 14, they're in a storm, and Jesus is up in the mountain praying. You remember? And they're in the midst of the sea alone, and a great storm comes on the sea there, and they're about to sink. And Jesus, in our little Sunday school classes, Jesus comes walking on the water in that instant, and he calms the storm there. Here's two things a storm ought to do. Your storm ought to either bring you to Jesus or bring Jesus to you, one or the other. Are you listening to me? Learn that tonight. If you don't get anything else out of this revival meeting, learn this tonight. When the storm comes in your life, and God allows the storm to come in your life, and He will, those storms ought to either drive you to Jesus or bring Jesus to you, one or the other. He does not put you in a storm. He does not allow a storm to come in your life or in your family or in the church, no matter whatsoever. He does not allow a storm to come to get you to despair and throw up your hands and say, God, you're not hearing my prayer. I don't even think you're looking at me, Lord. You seem like you've hidden your face from me. It looks like you would gaze upon me, look upon me, be mindful of it. Lord, you would help me. God knows where you are, and He knows what storm you're in, and when He accomplished what He's doing in your life, He will rise greater than your storm and cause that storm to cease in your life, and He'll take out the fear, and He'll put in the faith, and make you a better saint of God than you ever were before you went into that storm.
Amen.
Your storms are good for you. They wash the doubt. They wash the defilement. They wash those things overboard in your life, and to get everything cleared out between you and your relationship with the Lord. Are you listening?
Amen.
Do not despair. David, going back to the... I could stay there in Mark, and I'd love to. I love to preach there. But in Psalms 55 tonight, David felt like God wasn't hearing his prayer. In verse 1, David felt like God had hidden his face from his supplication and wasn't even paying any attention to him. And he said in verse number 2, attend unto me, hear me, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Look, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. David is about to be overwhelmed. The disciples were about to be overwhelmed. And there's probably somebody here tonight, you're about to be or have been overwhelmed by your circumstances, and you feel like maybe God does not even care. I could only quote it to you to write it down, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Master, carest thou not? Here's what you can say. Lord, don't you care? And here's what Jesus said through the pen of Peter. Casting all your cares upon Him, He cares for you. He does care. He has not stopped caring. And a preacher said tonight, we've got a God that's omnipresent. That's a big old word, that God can be in South Carolina, and God can be in Phoenix, and God can be in Tucson, and God can be in you, God can be in me, God can be everywhere that He chooses to be. Amen. And so it's an omnipresent God. But He's also an omniscient God. He, you see, sights in omniscient. God knows all. I mean, He's all wise, and He has perfect timing, and He knows what's going on in your life. And when He gets you to that place where He wants you, He can calm the stormy waters of your soul. What He does in your life and allows the storm to do in your life, what He wants that storm to do. David was afraid. Horrors had come upon him. He felt like he was abandoned by God. He felt like he'd been abused by the enemy. He had inward trouble. He had outward trouble. At about the time, neighbor, he learned how to be overcome. And God said, I'm going to do something for you, David, that I could not do without a storm in your life. Are you listening?
Amen.
Do not despair. Verse number 1 down through verse number 5. And I could stay there. Verse number 6, I like these three verses. In verse 6 he said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. I marked fly away in verse number 6. Look at verse 7. Then he said, lo, then would I wander far off. I mark wander in verse number 7 and remain in the wilderness. Look at verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I marked escape in verse number 8. Verse number 6, 7, and 8, do not desert. When you get in a storm, don't despair and neither leave your post. Are you listening to me? David said, I'm in a storm. I can't handle it. I don't even know if God knows where I'm at. And he said, here's what I feel like I need to do. He said, I would like to take wings like a dove, and I would like to get some air under my wings and fly out of this storm that I'm in and leave it all behind me. I feel that way too sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
Just confess and be honest with God. I don't like storms. I don't like fights. I don't like the battles that I'm going through. I don't like the storms the church and my ministry and my family's been through. As a matter of fact, neighbor, I despise some of them. I would to God that the confrontation was over. But I'm telling you, it may sound good to take wings like a dove and fly away. That sounds good, but it's not possible. I'd like to do that. I'd like to get out of a storm. But if you're in this world, Job said, you're going to have trouble. And if you're born of a woman, you're going to have trouble. If you live right, you're going to have trouble. If you don't live right, you're going to have trouble. I'd rather face my trouble with Jesus on my side, wouldn't you? I'd rather face my trouble and my storms and my battles in the perfect will of God for my life than to desert where God put me and doing what God called me to do and told me to do. Mark chapter number 4, he told them, get in the boat and go straightway to the other side. Get with it. Get some fire in your boat. Get in that boat and go to the other side. We got a job to do on the other side of the sea. Get in there and go to the other side. In perfect obedience, they get into that ship and they get out, I'm telling you, and that storm begins to rage, and they say on the Sea of Galilee, they sweep down off of those slopes the way they do up here in the canyons we were talking. get in the boat, go to the other side.
Right.
I don't think that's hard to understand.
Right, brother.
He should have waited on deck to fulfill their orders.
Amen.
But he got in a storm. And he said, Lord, if that's you out there, bid me come unto you on the water. If you pray with ifs in your life, that ain't too much faith.
Right.
I'm just preaching now. You preach next and you straighten me out on it. If that's you, Lord, I don't even know if it's you or not, but if it is, what if that's the devil out there? And say, yeah, boy, come on out here on the water. Didn't even know it was Jesus. Thought it was a ghost.
Right.
If it's you, Lord, bid me come unto you on the water. And the Bible said he went down out of the ship. He went down in the water, and he would have went down to a watery grave if Jesus hadn't rescued him.
Amen.
And Jesus got him up and put him right back to where he came from.
Amen.
There's people out of this church tonight. They got in a storm. They got their leg up over the rail, thought they could walk the water, and they're about up to here tonight, about to drown, about to go down for the third time, and they're never going to have that peace and do the will of God till they let the Lord take them and put them right back to where they got out of the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
If that ain't good preaching, they ain't a cow in Texas.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening? Don't despair when you get in a storm. God's bigger than any storm you've got.
Amen.
Don't desert when you get in a storm. I'm talking about don't desert your post. Don't leave your post. Don't quit doing what God told you to do. I'll guarantee you, buddy, if I was a betting man, I think your pastor's been out here, I saw it in a little book the other day, 14 or 15 years. I'll guarantee you there's been a time or two that he'd have liked to load it up and set sail back to the east.
Of
course, Drew said go west, and I bet the old flesh said go east. Are you listening? I pastored 36 years, same place, about five different groups of people in 36 years, but stayed at the same place all that time. It's a time or two. I just felt like sacking it up, loading it up, and leaving. Never one time did God ever tell me to do that.
Amen.
Till August, July, last fall, July, 2 years ago, he said, son, it's enough. I don't have time to get into that. I'll get to crying, carrying on. Right, listen to me. Don't desert where you're supposed to be when you get in a storm.
Amen.
If there's anything independent Baptists ought to learn, two things, 42 years experience, here are two things what independent Baptist churches need to learn. We got to have unity. We got to have unity. And I preached that two nights. And secondly, God don't have to put you in a storm to move.
Amen.
Everybody changes churches. They change with the tail feathers up in the air and the hair stand up on the back of the neck and an old hateful spirit. Well, God told me just to go somewhere else. We're not getting fed around you. I said, well, God don't serve steak on hot dog plates. You don't serve steaks on a little paper plate, you put a hot dog on. If you want a big steak, bring one of them big old porcelain or aluminum pans in here. You'll probably get a steak. Are you listening, church? You don't desert when you're in a storm.
Amen.
Before I was saved, when I was 18 years old, been working to take care of myself since I got out of high school, got a job, went to Florida, and long story short, working on a barge, drilling canals out off the Gulf of the coast of Florida on the west coast. Drilling and shooting canals out there so they could bring those canals and get the water coming up into those waterfront lots that they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for. We had to drill those, shoot that, and bring those big cranes out there, dig up the canals and dig waters up through there. I'm telling you, when you, that old man I was working with, and the biggest thing I ever saw in West Virginia was a little creek or river running through their mountains up there. I'd never seen anything like that. That old man told me when the winds would start blowing, he said, we're going to have to get
get in those canals or get somewhere out of the storm. But he said, I'll tell you something, son. He said, you don't get sideways in a storm. You don't turn this little square bar. We was on a little old boxy looking thing. It looked like a shoebox. He said, you don't turn this thing sideways when you got a 60 mile an hour gale blowing against it. It'll turn us over. We'll be floundering around out here like a fish floating around in the water trying to get back to shore. He said, I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to do this a time or two. When those storms is coming in, he'd turn that old boat around and he'd throw the anchors out there and get it dug into the bottom or get it in a good rock somewhere, and he'd head that little boat, that little barge, into those storms, and we'd get on the little boat and go to shore. You don't get sideways in a storm. You face your storm and you ride out your storm.
Amen.
You don't have to get mad at the preacher for God to move, is what. Yeah, everything in a nutshell. You don't have to get mad at the preacher and mad at God and mad at everything else and feel like God's abandoned you and the enemy's got the best of you and there's no hope, nothing to live for, and then we feel like God's moving us somewhere. I've seen good preachers, I've seen good families, I've seen them ruin and make shipwreck because they did not ride out their storm. They deserted their post when the rain and wind was raging in their life. Don't despair, verse 1 through 5. Verse 6, 7, and 8, don't desert. How are you going to desert? Look at verse 6. You want to fly away like a dove? Verse number 7, you want to flee away into the wilderness, wander off, wandering around and remain out in the wilderness. I know some tonight. May God have mercy upon them. I wish He'd call me tonight. They're wandering around like the nation of Israel. And you study the nation of Israel. I love to preach about them. They came up out of Egypt and came up to Kadesh Barnea, and they refused to go across where God told them to go in and possess the land. And the 12 spies came by, 10 were bad, 2 were good, and gave their evil report, discouraged the heart of the people, and they turned back away from the will of God in Kadesh Barnea to go over. And the Bible said they wandered around until they were wasted. There was a generation that had to die off, and God raised up a new generation and took that generation over 20 years, under 20 years old, and took them over into Canaan to possess the land of Canaan. But I tell you, that crowd that deserted the will of God for their life, they wandered until they were wasted in the wilderness.
Right.
That's exactly what David was about to do in verse number 7. I hope I got your attention. Lo, David said, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. David said, this storm has got me to the spiritual state in my life that I would rather be out of the will of God and out in the wilderness, wandering around, doing nothing for God, wasting my life, losing my family, wasting my talent, the ability God may have given me, and stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ with an unfinished task, blood on my hand, no reward whatsoever to live for the gift of Jesus there. May God help us to get this thing in our heart and finish what God's given us to do. Would you look up here at me tonight? I would rather die in Tucson, Arizona, fall over up here in the pulpit tonight. My wife had to fly my carcass back to Taylor and place me beneath that red clay in Spartanburg County, then I would to miss God's will for my life, mess my ministry up maybe for the next few days, and live another 50 years in a life of sin and shame wandering around the wilderness.
Amen.
I'd rather die tonight.
Amen.
I don't know about you. A lot of folks think you're crazy. But if you think after you get saved, you can wander and waste your life, you've got bass in your belfry and room in your attic for rent.
Right.
Are you listening? Don't despair. Don't desert. Don't be like a dove to fly away. Don't be like a wild animal to flee away. Look at verse 8. Don't be like a boat to escape or float away. I don't know, some of you look like you might be a want to fly. Some of you look like you might be a want to flee. And some of you look like you might be wanting to float. I don't know about you, but ain't none of them going to work. Pardon my English. Amen. You can flee like a dove. Somebody told me, I think they heard me preach, and there are bird hunters out
think I've ever shot a dove. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. I shoot pheasants, I shoot deer, and I shoot the bull and everything else. Amen. And I tell you, I don't shoot dove. No, I'm not picking on you. You shoot them, eat all you want to. But it is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says I've never shot one and only intend to. But nevertheless, if you give me that vanilla shotgun, I will take a heart. Amen. Nevertheless, I don't want to be like a dove. See, said preacher, do you know that a dove is the only fowl that can fly with one wing? I can't prove that. Somebody told me that and never been proved. Said you can shoot one and break its wing, and that little old dove make it clear across the field, that one wing. We got a bunch of Christians of mine that's wounded and trying to survive on one wing. They're just flipping and flopping and beating and carrying on.
That's right.
And
then we got some that's fleeing away like a spooked deer.
Amen.
Or a spooked. What's them goat-looking things y'all got out here? Fastest animal on the American on this on the North American antelope, 160 mile an hour. Oh, but 60 or 70. That's moving on. We got some running wide open. Think they're gonna get away from God and the will of God and the storm in their life. You could run 100 mile an hour, leave here tonight, go due east, north, south, or west, and when you get there, the storm will be there just like it was when you left. You can't outrun the storm. You can't outrun the devil. He'll be there wherever you get.
That's right. Amen.
And then he said, some of them might say, I just like to float away. I like to get on a boat. Nobody know where I'm at. Not leave a forwarding address. Take the sail down, straight the sail, just let the wind drive it and float off in and over. That might sound good for Robinson Crusoe, but I know God's got a will for your life.
Amen.
You don't much like a wild deer or floating out here like a nomad on a boat on a stormy sea somewhere. He wants your life to count for something.
Amen.
And so he puts you through a storm to make something out of it.
Amen.
Don't desert. Don't despair. Here's the directions very quickly. Are you listening? 10 minutes, I'm through. I'm leaving here in 10 minutes. Here's the directions for deliverance. Verse number 9 down through 15, I'm not going to deal with that. David said, here's what I will tell you, what God told me today, 9 through 15, the battle's the Lord.
Amen.
David turned his battle over to the Lord, verse 9 through 15. Right. He said, destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. He didn't say, I'm going to do it, like some Baptist preachers say, come outside and I'm going to put my big fist in your face, I'm going to whip you. David didn't do that. Verse number 16 down through verse number 23 or 4, and I'm through. 23, look at verse 16. As for me, I'm going to let God fight my battle, verse 9 through 15. But he said, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. I marked that today. You know how to overcome when you're overwhelmed? Keep confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to keep my confidence in the Lord. I've been in a storm. Don't look like I ever survived it. I'm perplexed. The enemy's got me even looking inward. The enemy's got me looking outward. I don't know what's going on in my life. And he comes down to verse number 16, and he said, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to call upon you, and I know you're going to answer me because I've seen you do it before. Are you listening? He kept his confidence. I'm through. Better listen real quick. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I had turned to read that verse today. Paul told the church at Philippi, probably the best local church in the Bible, in my opinion. He said, you be confident of this very thing. Storms are raging in Philippi. Devil trying to tear that church up. And Paul wrote to him and said, you keep your confidence in this very thing, that he that begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's a pleasant view. If God put this place here and birthed this place here and gave you this opportunity in Tucson to do something for God, you keep your confidence that God has started it, God can finish it.
Amen.
Preacher, what about storms? What about perplexing things you don't have the answer to? Jesus said, I'll build a church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail.
Amen.
You keep your confidence in it. I've seen people leave the church and broke my heart. My wife sitting here, we have cried together. We've cried by ourselves. We fasted and prayed, and I've crawled around in the altar church by myself wondering why, God, why? I don't understand it. Lord, I love you, and I know you sent me here, and I know it's the will of God for my life. Now I'm telling you, there's a work that's there tonight that will be there when Jesus comes.
Amen.
I'm confident of this very thing. David said, Lord, I'm confident the Lord shall save me. He's not talking about saving his soul. He's talking about saving him out of the circumstances he's in. I'm in a windy storm. And Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my confidence in you. And I believe that you're going to step out and say, peace be still one of these days, and my storm will be over. You young people remember that. When your heart's broken, might be some little thing to big people, but it's a big thing to little people. When your heart's broken, you just remember Jesus loves you. And you tell Him what your need is, and you tell Him, you ask Him to help you, and you believe that He will. Amen. Verse number 16, you got confidence. Verse number 17, evening, morning, and at noon. Well, I pray, I wrote this down today. I see continuance. Not just confidence. David said, I'm going to pray evening, I'm going to pray in the morning, and I'm going to pray at noon, and I'm going to keep on continuing to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to believe God's going to deliver me out of my circumstances. Here's what the black preacher said. He is in a storm in his church. He'd gone as far as he could go. He got in the altar. He said, Father, I've got to have an answer to my problem, and I need you to intervene in my problem. And Lord, I'm going to keep on asking you till at this altar there's going to be a pile of darkened bones. Do you answer me?
Amen.
You talk to God in your heart. Lord, I'm going to call. I'm going to continue. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm telling you, faith honors God and God honors faith.
Amen.
I'm through. Confidence. Continuance. I wrote these down today. I could give them all to you, but I don't have time to. Verse number 18, 9 through to 9. He said, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Look at that. I underlined it. There were many with me. He had confidence. He had continuance. And he had a company with him. He had a company with him.
Amen.
I could preach that a lot. I got a company with me. I got a wife that stood with me for 47 years.
Amen.
I got a family that stood with me for 46 years. My son's 46 years old. And I had a church that stood with me down through the storms of my life. If I hadn't had a company, if it wasn't, hadn't been many with me, it don't have to be many, like a big crowd. But David said, I've been delivered because there was somebody there to help me. I had some friends. And the Bible said a brother's born for adversity. Did you listen to me? Anybody that would abandon a church when it's struggling and trying to do the will of God and leave the room. You know what I believe about the Apostle Peter, and I love him. He's my brother. I'm going to fellowship with him in eternity. Here's what I think about the Apostle Peter. When the storm started raging, I think Peter said, this boat is going down.
Yes.
It's full of water. And this whole crowd's going to drown. And they can ground it and want to. I'm going to get over here
See if I can get out there where Jesus is. He abandoned the church. He abandoned the position where God put him.
That's right.
And I don't appreciate it, Brother Peter.
Trust.
We got the Lone Rangers today. They don't think that either. We're there, so independent banders, so independent, they don't even need Tonto. They like the Lone Ranger. They don't even need Tonto around with them.
Right,
I'll tell you, whether you believe it or not, we need each other.
Amen.
We need the church.
Amen.
You're going to survive your storms. You're not going to survive them by yourself.
Amen. That's right.
I can tell you that. Bear ye one another's burdens.
Right.
And
amen.
So fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
If you don't learn, woe to the man that's alone when he falls.
Amen.
Read the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. The man falls, he's got somebody with him to help him up. But if he's alone, God said, woe to that man when he falls. You ought to make some friends. You're going to need them.
Amen.
You ought to love the church and stand with the church. When you're on the mountaintop, some of your brothers are in the valley. When you're sailing smooth seas, they're in the storm of their life.
Amen.
One of these days, that role will be reversed.
Amen.
You'll be in the storm, and they'll be in the calm, and they can help you.
Amen.
David said, I tell you how I overcame when I was overwhelmed. I had confidence in the Lord. I continued doing what God told me to do, and I had a company there to help me when I was down. If we can't pick a brother up when he's down, we ought to get out of the church and just tell God we don't even know him. We don't know anything about the love of God.
Right, sir.
Are you listening to me? How to overcome when you're overwhelmed. You're going to have storms. I hope you'll learn how to survive them. Thank you, preacher. I feel like that's what God told me to preach tonight.
Tell you something, that kind of preaching is what helped me stay here 15 years.
Amen.
Knowing what God was doing, or not knowing what God was doing, but trusting what
Amen.
God was doing. You got to learn to do that.
Amen.
You got to learn to trust God in the storms. The Lord knew what He was doing. He knew a storm was coming when He got in the ship, didn't He?
Sure.
When He went to sleep on the pillow in the ship, He knew there was a storm coming. Those disciples didn't. They didn't know what the Lord was doing through all that, but the Lord did. And He can bring a storm to a screeching halt when He steps out on the bow and says, peace be still. Storms help us as a preacher preaches. Storms strengthen us. We're going to stand and sing page 155 tonight. Maybe you're going through a storm tonight. Maybe you are in the depths of the lowest valley. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether you're going to survive or not. I want to tell you, the Lord hadn't put you in that place for you to perish. The Lord's growing you. The Lord's helping you. The Lord's purging you. The Lord's getting you the place where you trust in Him more. I don't know what all God's doing in your life, but if you're in a valley tonight, if you're in a storm, He's never left you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. And He's a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You again for the good message we've heard tonight. Please, Father, help us all take it to heart and apply it to our lives. Father, when we are in the storms, Lord, we'll know what to do. And Lord, not to forsake You and not to leave the work of God and not to get out of the boat, Lord, but Lord, help us stay with You and be faithful to You, Lord, when these things come in our life. God, help us, Lord, I pray, to see Your hand at work in all things. And Father, what You do, we'll thank You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. You obey the Lord tonight as we say. 155. there's going to be troubles and trials come your way, storms come your way. Most of us, hopefully everybody in here loves their spouse, loves their husband, loves their wife. And you don't leave your husband or your wife when a storm comes to the home. You pray together, you try to work things out together, you fight the battle together and stay together. Same way with the church. Storms come to churches. Churches go through storms, you know that. There's times the devil's oppressing, there's times that things are happening. Every family in this church has been attacked by the devil. Every family in here has been attacked by the devil. Every family in here that I know anything about is going through a storm or been through a storm. Thank God you stayed with the church. Hopefully because you love the church and you love Christ. What's preachers preaching about? Don't jump ship in the storm. Some have gone overboard. I remember something my pastor told me years ago. The first thing to leave a sinking ship is a wreck. Like the church is going down sometimes, the rats start jumping overboard. I don't want to be no classified as no rat, amen. Stay with your parents, stay with your church. Endure the storms. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul said that he endured hardness as a good soldier. Is going to come as a preacher preaches. Whether you're right with God or whether you're wrong with God, the storms are still going to come. But you have Christ with you to get you through the storm if you're saved by the grace of God. So ride her out. Put your anchor down deep in the rock of ages. Amen. Don't be moved.
Dismissed in a word of prayer tonight. I appreciate